Don't let those other guys make your family share data. Switch to T-Mobile now and get four lines with up to 6 gigs each of 4G LTE data. Just $30 a line and no sharing. So ditch your data worries and switch to the Un-carrier today. Get to T-Mobile or call 1-800-T-Mobile.
Limited time offers plus taxes and fees. Capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio. Celebrating their 20th year in radio broadcasting with views not heard in the news, the International Taz and Paula Show interviews experts from all walks of life, bridging research and personalized journeys, revealing new ways to unleash life with a passion of a heartbeat. And now, here's Taz and Paula.
Well, Paula, I'm already buzzing before the show takes off, so it must be going to be a wild one. Our guest, James Redfield, states, "What if I told you that humanity has finally downloaded the correct spiritual keys to live a full spiritual consciousness in this universe, including all the abilities that come with it, peace in all situations, a guiding intuition, and a constant flow of synchronicity that solves our problems, transcends our distractions, whoopee, reveals our missions, and brings us all the right relationships. James is calling this the new karmic understanding of the 12th insight. And since 2012, we can see even more signs of this insight operating in the world. This is so yummy. Let's go for it. You are now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show. I'm Taz.
And I'm Paula. Well, James Redfield is the number one New York Times best-selling author of the Celestine Prophecy series, which celebrates its 20th anniversary this year. These books have created a special model for spiritual perception and actualization and resonates with millions of people all over the world. James lectures on all facets of his books, and he has such a great website we'll be talking about later on. It's just a world of knowledge in his website. You know, James, I cannot believe it's been 20 years since the Celestine Prophecy was out. I had a bookstore at that time, and the Celestine Prophecy was the number one book that was selling off the shelves from my bookstore, and I felt like it was like a turn that made people start to think differently. So welcome to our show. We have so much to talk about today. Oh, where did he? Uh-oh. He came off the just a minute. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Accidentally got cut off there.
Okay, I'm
so
back.
Welcome to our show, James.
Thank you. You know, it has been 20 years, and it's been a quick flash, you know, and slow, and it's been amazing to see, you know, what happened back then and what's occurring now, and especially since there's, you know, there are two things trending out there that confuse people. One is a trend toward a kind of despair and negative thinking because of all the religious wars and the news media and that sort of thing. But I like to point out that there's something else trending. You know, it's that discovery of a personal kind of spirituality, a consciousness, you know, download, as I call it, as you said. And that's also occurring. So there's kind of two tracks happening at the same time. But I'm the one that really like to remind people that there's more positive happening in this world than there is negative.
There is, for sure. Can we go back to the Celestine Prophecy when you first wrote it? How did the 9 insights, because that's the first 9 insights was in the Celestine Prophecy, how did they come to you?
Well, you know, it's it's very interesting. It was certainly intuitive. You know, it's something I kind of downloaded. But what I downloaded grew out of my own background, which was psychological counseling psychology. And I was working as a counselor with people in. It started off working with children, and what a great laboratory to look at psychology and the psychology of how when a person has a breakthrough, and then working with kids that have been abused. You know, these are kids that have all this potential, and it's very constricted, and to watch them have breakthroughs was amazing. So that's where I was. I was in the world of therapy and psychology, and back then it was, you know, there was a lot of talk about a kind of new kind of psychology, transpersonal psychology. And I tried to write a book first that was a psychology of spirituality, you know. I wrote about half of it, and I thought, you know, this is boring to me. This is ridiculous. And what I did, though, is I took the same, those breakthrough moments that I was seeing and how I was seeing it everywhere. People are having these breakthroughs. And really finding this flow in their lives, and so I just wanted to capture those insights as I talk about them, but in a way I wanted to put it in a story, and it was certainly my story, but it was about the insights that we were all having pretty much at the same time.
James, how did this transition for you in that? What kind of impact when you were writing the book and afterward, and after sharing it with so many people, how did this change your in-depth ways of connecting not only with others but yourself as well?
Well, I was suddenly, you know, a lot of this, you know, was intuitively sort of brought into the story, and I don't take a lot of credit for that. I felt like it was a real download of the way to craft this story to be a real parable. So, but I was suddenly kind of thrown into being the spokesman for this way of thinking. And so it was amazing how, you know, I really had to, keep myself really structured and balanced and in that space, even while I had a lot of press pushing me and a lot of, well, you know, this book was the best-selling book in the world for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easy to, you know, it's a personal book for people, but people pass it along. It's all their friends, and what happened. I would manage to put, you know, these insights into perspective and life into perspective for people because they were already feeling this. You know, this was just me describing almost like a reporter of what was going on in that time and is still going on.
Yeah, you were the glue. You were the glue bringing this together. This is, you know, this is really awesome. And then not only that, but there's an in-depthness here that nourishes the people around you. What about their stories that came back to you? I mean, it's like, wow, it's like, that must have been exciting to see.
Well, it was, absolutely. And that's why I say it was nothing I did other than put into words what other people were feeling, because it helped clarify some things in terms of what, you know, what growth really was from a spiritual point of view, and how do we get past our distractions and addictions and all the other stuff that holds us back and break through into something that feels like we're suddenly the center of our movie, and we have this destiny we feel is unfolding. And it's not about being famous or anything. It's about, you know, growing into what you're supposed to do and what the message you're supposed to bring. And most people, for that, it's the people that they meet and talk to, and it's their children, and it's their family. But still, it feels like you're doing what you came here to do, and bringing a message to everyone.
Well, what I saw when I had the bookstore was so many people, that book turned so many people on to search for more. And it was just, it was there at the right point. I mean, you wrote it at exactly, at the timing was exquisite, and it was so powerful.
Well, again, I don't take a lot of credit for it, but it's something that I was inspired to do for my, all my adult life. I really, my life was tracking toward, getting this down on paper, it took literally, 7 or 8 years to go, to get it down on paper. I always like to tell the story. At one point, I had this book in manuscript form, and I thought, I just read it, and I'm thinking, well, who am I to write a book? I'm a, this therapist, but, I just kind of wondered whether it'd be anything other than something the kids would read later, and I just tossed it into the bottom drawer for a year.
Wow.
And then I thought, and I came back around. I guess the astrology changed. I came back around and thought, well, I read it with fresh eyes. Now, this is the thing that happened. I read it with fresh eyes, and I thought, well, this is not right. This is wrong. This needs to be thrown out. This needs to be expanded. And so it was a fresh-eyed look at the last editing for that book. And I'll tell you another thing I did. I tested it like you test a movie. I would make these manuscripts at Kinko's, and I would give it to friends of friends. I figured friends were not trustworthy, right? They may not tell you anything. But I would seek out friends of friends, and I'd ask them if they'd read it and tell me how they felt about it, each chapter, or how it went. Some people, they would stop at a certain point. And I probably a total of about 50 people, but what I did was I took every suggestion as a big synchronistic message to me. And I shifted it until I solved whatever problem some people had in the way the book flowed. And so that was the last edit. And once I got, and I tell this to people who have aspirations to write something. What happened was, is I continued to circulate it. The last, after making these edits, the last people said, well, I really enjoyed this book. Is there any way that I could have another copy? I want to send one to a friend. Now, that's what you want to hear, right?
Yeah.
If you're writing a book, keep writing it until you get some indication that it's going to be a pass along of some sort. And I just did that intuitively. I mean, I didn't read any way to do that. That was just something that was a guidance for me, and it really paid off, I think.
James, in 1995, I had an experience that changed my perception of the world, literally. My eyes nearly popped out of my head at the time. I was recovering from an extended illness, and I simply asked a question in midair saying, prove it to me. I felt like I was asking the heavens the question. And at that instant, I was directed to my personal bookshelf and to a specific book upon it. The color and everything was directed to me. Plus, I was given a page number and a specific paragraph. And there I was given my answer. And it was the answer for me. I was very shocked. And over the following months, I realized that I could follow the same path and answers would arrive for me. And so I began to trust this, this is like your book, learning to trust the intuitive side of yourself and those imprints that you get within. It's really, really, really powerful. I can just see you. I bet you have a bunch of sticky notes with you all the time.
That's exactly right. I mean, I check everything out intuitively.
Yeah.
But I believe that you know, when I talk about, hey, it's, you know, the world really is designed to work miraculously for us. We're just figuring out the application, you know, where to click. There's a program in this world that is metaphysical and growth oriented, and it works, as you know, by giving us these tiny miracles, you know, that move our lives along and solve problems. You know, people, you know, we all have problems that pop up, you know, and it can stop your flow. And, you know, what's this challenge doing in my way? You know, we want to say, but it happens to everyone. And it's what you do with that place, how you get back into the flow, that I think we're really figuring out now. And like I say, that's an upgrade, a bit of an upgrade for the Sultan Prophecy and the other books as well. But it's almost like it's an upgrade that's coming in, so it, you know, it fits in the proper insight. But it's an upgrade, and one of them is the third insight, which is about how the world responds to us. And I think we've figured that out. It's like a karmic design, and the way, what makes this flow work is that we have to have an attitude change. In terms of activating this karma, you activate it with an attitude of giving, an attitude of looking out for the other person, an attitude of, as much a feeling of how, you know, what is the synchronicity I can give this other person, as much as, well, what, you know, where's my synchronicity coming, you know, and it's that balance. You know, what happens when we have a giving kind of helping attitude, you know, asking our intuitive self, you know, what can I say that will change this person, that can give them information that they were looking for? You know, this, it takes every moment and amplifies it to this magic moment where, you know, two people can swap synchronicities. But the idea is that this giving attitude has a karmic activation that elicits a response from the universe, and that response is to bring more people into your life that act just like you. In other words, if you help, you'll attract more helpers that come into your life to help you, give you a synchronicity. And to me, that's a clarification that totally changed me just in a number of a couple of years recently. That I think is a real upgrade to our whole understanding of how to get this synchronistic flow and this sense of destiny operating in our lives.
Well, it really helps. It really helps when you can see the individual receiving that information. It's like their eyes start to spark and they begin to, you can see the wheels clicking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's nothing more fun than to hand a synchronicity off to someone, you know. And in, the thing is, see, here's what, the way this enlarges one's consciousness. Because if you say, okay, I know I'm manipulating some situations, and I do this, and I do that, but I can, if I'm going to adopt this giving orientation, which means being perfectly honest. You know, this, some synchronicities are not unicorns and rainbows, you know. Some synchronicities are what you needed to hear, might be a tough truth, but it's one you needed to hear to keep this, to keep yourself growing and flowing.
Yeah.
So, you know, what happens is that we, if we ask the question, though, if we ask of ourselves, of our higher connection, the divine connection within us, if, you know, what can I do for this person? What can I say? Then what happens is that you get the answer. All you have to ask, if you ask, you get the answer of some kind. And you'll find yourself saying something to somebody, and you won't. You'll say, why in the world am I telling this person? You know, what is it? You know, it's some secret you've had in your experience, or who knows? It could be anything. I've done that. I've told some undisclosed truth to somebody, undisclosed, act that I made in the past that cost me a lot. And this person says, oh, my God, this is exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. That is the juice of life, you know, if you get into the flow, because, you know, down the next block, you cross paths with somebody who's got one of those for you. And you know, that's the spiritual program that is embedded in this universe. It's just that we're just finally turning around from, you know, 400 years of materialism, and we're finally taking the whole spiritual experience very seriously. So that's that positive trend that's happening out there that, excites me.
You're going to be talking about that at the expo, aren't you, in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I can't wait to get there. You know, I mean, it's... I don't do a lot of these things, but I really like the synchronicities of conferences, you know, because it's like a hot house, you know. You're all in this hotel, and every you know, the synchronicity amps up because, you know, you're talking to total strangers all the time every time you stand in line somewhere. And it's a hot house of this energy that we're talking about, this creative, intuitive energy, this flow. So I love to be in that atmosphere, it's also fun to talk to the people that I attract into my room when we do one of these things.
I know it feels like it's buzzing when you go to one of those conferences. Well, let us tell everybody out there, it's going to be February 19th through the 22nd, and you will be speaking. It's going to be at the LAX Hilton, and you're going to be speaking on Sunday, I think between 10 and 11:30. So
that's correct.
It's going to be
on Saturday night.
A lot of information.
I'll do a panel on Saturday night.
Okay.
As well, Saturday evening maybe. I don't know the exact time. But...
Well,
so that'll be fun.
Sounds like it's going to be exciting. Yeah. So let me give out the phone number if anybody wants information on how to get a ticket. And let me see if I have it. 800-367-5777. Again, that's 800-367-5777. And James is going to be speaking at the La Jolla Ballroom on Sunday between 10 and 11:30. And Saturday, we're not sure, but you're going to be on a panel. We're not sure what time. So...
And listen, people who can't get there, you know, they're live streaming parts of this, and I think my presentation will be live streamed, so people can go on the website, consciouslifeexpo.com, I think is probably what it is, and sign up if you want to just live stream it, get it right into your computer or your house television. So that's available as well, I understand. I don't know.
Well, that's great.
For that, they did.
And you're going to be talking about entering the miracle universe. I think the insight, 12th insight, entering the miracle universe, and it sounds like that's what we're talking about right now.
That's right. It's exactly what it is. I mean, it's all a matter of energy. You know, you step into this path that we just described, and we on our website selfenvision.com we talk about the steps to do that. We're implementing right now. It's in beta testing a community area, and which will be a kind of Facebook for the soul, except it's just all this information centered right on your own. What you're breaking through to finding this, path of destiny that we talked about, and it's, I talk about it as it's absolutely accessible to everyone, and that is exactly what I believe. This is just like, pushing your tricycle around and jumping on, finally getting the nerve up to jump on your bicycle and wobbling around for a while and then getting it to go straight. And you don't forget after you once do it. You pop into that, your brain activates, you know, all these archetypal pathways they're designed in our brain activate and fire off. And it's just exactly like jumping on a bike for the first time, and then you keep going with it, and with a kind of faith and prayer visualization to that supports all this. And hey, it's the most fun life anyone could ever find. And we're the generation, the two or three generations that are popping into this now. I mean, it's the, in my view, the leading edge of human spiritual evolution. You know, this will be downloaded into our children much more easily than we downloaded it. And it's something I think is permanent in the world.
I kind of think that they're probably there. the Celestine Prophecy book is book number 4. And by the way, you can also download it Kindle-wise to grab it from Amazon. And it's called The 12th Insight, The Hour of Decision. I love that. The Hour of Decision. Wow. I like the phrase sustaining synchronicity. Wow, I like that phrase. It really says a lot. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think sometimes, excuse me, people have trouble sustaining synchronicity.
Well, what we're doing on the community side on selfingvision.com is that we're taking it apart, in terms of baby steps and then into, the run, the full scale, pace of this flow. But it's, I mentioned the karmic factor, There is a karma, you activate a giving karma in the world and suddenly doors will open up. And that's what we want. Now, I love the, sustained synchronicity. I mean, we all have synchronicities. I mean, people who don't even know what's going on will say, oh, my God, look at this, or they'll say, because this synchronicity is just there, Mm-hmm. And it's a mysterious coincidence. That's what we're talking about here. Synchronicity is a mysterious coincidence, and everybody has those. And they go, wow, what's this about? Well, what happens very often is somebody will say, well, I ran into this, I went to a festival and ran into the same person 3 times, when I was going in and when I stopped to eat, and then later, that night at the concert, I found myself standing right near that person again, a third time, and then another time, and they may go tell their best friend or spouse, say, oh, look, this happened. And what they would forget to do is pursue the synchronicity. You've got to find a way to strike up a conversation when those kinds of things happen. You've got to figure out a way, to follow the intuition. Because, what we realize, I believe, when we look into this is that first you have an intuition. And everybody, whether they're into talking about this or not, has intuition. They have ideas, and they think it's, well, this is just an ordinary idea that came to me. Well, no, it wasn't an ordinary idea. It just dropped into your mind. And we talk about how the thing you do is you have to ask questions when you have every thought. You have to become mindful of every thought that comes through yourself. And ask the question, why did I think that now? And that will give you, that will elevate the kind of analysis you need to say, wow, why did I think that now? I'm going to do what that intuition suggested. Go to the bookstore, call the old friend, call the client, you know, pursue this on the computer, whatever the suggestion was, you know, if one pursues it as quickly as possible, what happens is that then you're putting yourself in the position, in the right place, to have a synchronicity. So it's kind of like you have a question about your life. What am I going to do, or how am I going to solve this problem, or whatever? How can I make more money? It works at every level. And the question, if you hold that question, then you'll get an intuition and a guidance about what to do to answer that question. You follow that intuition, you have a synchronicity, a mysterious coincidence will give you more information, will solve the problem, will open the door of an opportunity for you to lead your life forward, which in turn will suggest another question. What do I do now? Where do I go after this? And then that whole process keeps going. So you get where that is just a kind of, you know, once you realize that's the flow, then what you do is you just act on it at the right time, pursue these synchronicities to get the real meaning out of them, and your life changes.
So you're engaging. You really engage. Engage with yourself. Fine. Engage with others. Engage with your intuition.
Environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You become active. An active participant.
That's right. So we have to do our part, otherwise we just sit in the house and watch television.
Now, is that what you call mindfulness?
That's right. That's exactly what mindfulness is. And there's a great meditation. I mean, the meditation for this is simple. It's so simple. And the way I suggest people do it is that they just have a little meditation. You know, they close their eyes and rather than have a mantra, which is usually a word, a mantra is something just keep the ego occupied while your other information comes in. But instead of that, you use an emotion. You just focus on feeling love. Now, that will, sometimes you have to sort of, what I'm talking about is love without an object, right? Now, you can just focus on loving God, or you can love, you can just think about love itself and all the times you felt it and just try to feel it in that space. Try not to think too much. Just feel it and keep feeling and sort of have the intention that that's the feeling you want to practice. And what happens is that you will definitely feel more love. But the other thing that happens, and that love is the real, that's the connection, right? It opens the heart. That's where all the download comes in. But another thing happens. You'll be in that quiet space that separates you from your thoughts. In other words, your thoughts, instead of just sweeping you into this revenge trip daydream that you wish you had done to this person that insulted you or things like that, you stop yourself as soon as a thought or another emotion, you know, fear, hate, envy, whatever, that emotion tries to grab you, you just become aware of it and practice coming back to this state of pure love in the present with as a detached observer. And that's mindfulness training. You learn to separate from your thoughts and weird emotions, because everybody has them, and let them go and come back to love. You know, Marianne said that more than 20 years ago, you know, come back to love. And when you practice that, you become the detached observer, and that's the space where everything else happens in. You start to recognize that some thoughts are actually intuitions, they're guidances. How about that? And
wow.
Then you're in a position to flow.
Yeah, just being aware, is mindfulness.
Yes. But you kind of have to practice it, you know. Otherwise, you just get knocked. You just get swept away by all these emotions, a daily life kind of crazy emotions and stuff. And you don't want to live there. You want to live in the love space.
Well, you have meditations on your website that sounds like can help people do this, to become more centered.
And, yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're adding stuff all the time because it really is, there is a practice element to this. You know, I mean, it's something that we're wired for, and we pop into it and we do it for a while, but you do have to practice keeping the flow going. And one other part of that I'll talk about is you have to, when challenging events happen, and you say, why would I have this kind of bad luck? Then that's a moment when you should, in your love space and into your intuition, you should seek the silver lining in that challenge. What did it teach me? At the very least, you figure out how not to get yourself in that situation again. But
right.
It's always more than that. You know, it is about finding, seeing yourself as being prepared to go on and complete the rest of your destiny. And sometimes those feel like hitting a brick wall. I know that writing the book, you know, when I figured out I wanted to, initially, the Self-Esteem Prophecy, I published with my own publishing company, right? And I was trying to find investors for that. And, you know, had all the orders and we got all the way, you know, I got one investor and we, several, but one in particular, and we, ordered, you know, the books printed and all that kind of stuff. And then this one person backed out all of a sudden, leaving us going, whoa, now how are we going to, you know, our cash flow is going to, that's going to be a, why would this happen? You know,
that's triggering.
Why would this happen to me
insight.
Just when I'm trying to get this book out, right? Later on, I find out that this guy had some real, you know, challenging parts of his personality he hadn't worked through, and it would have been a disaster had he stayed on board. So you never know. You know, it's like missing a flight. You know, should I be real upset about this, or should I say, well, maybe it was a flight I needed to miss?
Right.
You know, it's that kind of situation. You have to find the silver lining either immediately or as soon as you can. Because that keeps you positive, that keeps your prayer expectation and your faith expectation going. And, you know, it's just one thing that knocks us out of our flow until we get our sea legs about that issue.
Well, it's like the emotions make one wobbly. And it's like you're in the ocean being tossed about for a while. Until your senses, you know, can kind of redirect themselves when people back out or do whatever. It's another insight.
Well, yeah, because if you let something upset you, then that actually you're not mindful anymore. If you're always
in
the emotion being upset.
Yeah. And it, listen, it's always, we all get knocked out, right? I mean, nobody's perfect with this. We're just learning that, we're learning to program the universe here and click on the right thing. So none of us can stay in this all the time because we do get knocked out of it. But the secret is getting back to it more quickly. And that
more
means,
often,
of course, come back to love, come back to your optimism.
When we get a chance to see this kind of, this kind of rerouting our thought system, the person will actually sit back and go, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? And not only that, but it allows you to see more easily the next time how to back away and look deeper. It is so nourishing. If one can just learn to stop themselves, in a shorter period of time and realize that this is part of the karma. I mean, karma is just simply being able to look at the situation being reflected back to you, you know?
And we say it's like instant karma now comes right back.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, everything's speeding up in terms of this, you know, being all you can be and getting past what's holding you back. You know, that's all. We've never been able to do this like we're able to do it now. You know, so that's why I say the biggest positive trend is this discovery of what I call the authentic spiritual experiences. You can come from lots of different traditions, you know, and still it amounts to, well, what are the experiences you have? Do you really experience this sense of peace beyond all understanding? You know, this sense of opening connection, you know, this intuitive guidance, you know, this sense of synchronistic flow that begins to feel destined in some way. And as soon as you get that feeling, that's the mission awareness that comes in. Oh, I'm supposed to be telling this to everybody I know. You know, and you sort of get the sense of what your talents are. It's always what you've been prepared, what you've already worked through, and that becomes your great gift to give other people. So it's great times, you know. There's a lot of people that just run around trying to get the budget to balance, and that's it. There's a lot more, you know, to jump into. And guess what? The first thing it does is solve your money problems. The first thing. I talk about tithing all the time. I always say don't tithe it to me because I'm just going to tithe it to everybody else. But tithe somewhere. I don't care if you can do a dollar a month at first. Walk around thinking, who can I give this dollar bill to? Because what that's the opening of the door. The knocking. That's all you have to do is ask. You know, I want to be guided to where I need to give this dollar to, and it'll show up in your life.
Yeah,
and that's I've had more fun doing that probably than anything about this whole life, because you know it opens up the intuition. You've got an immediate connection with the divine intelligence within you, which feels like a download of this huge, you know, expansion of yourself, you know, beyond the ego. So tithing is a ticket in. People say, well, yeah, but that's, you know, these churches, they just want you to give to them so they can have a big swimming pool. But that has nothing to do with the principle of tithing. Tithe where you're being spiritually led to give it. And, you know, 10% is a magic number. I believe it's absolutely the magic number, but 5% works almost as well, and 1% works as well too.
Yeah.
And but it's that giving activation. It's really true. I mean, I know we've been ruined by having to hear about it on television, but it's a real principle in the universe that can expand our lives, in my view.
And it can help the host.
You are igniting everybody in all these aspects. And so have your additional sticky notes led you into another direction where you will be writing again?
Well, yeah. You know, I am, you know, the 12th Insight completed that series. I intuit that's all for the Insight books, you know. But I have another book underway that is almost like an upgrade of that work, and it's interesting because it adds a couple of super fast growth elements, you know, where the hardest part for all of us is to get past our habits of thought and our, you know, our routines that have an addictive quality, so we can't really break out to be free and to really flow with our lives because we have this routine, this tape loop that's going in our heads. Well, I probably people have heard about the Enneagram before me.
Yes.
I've been a little late to it, but I think it's, you know, I've been studying it intensely, and I think, you know, my message is that it's slightly misunderstood. And what it really is about is a clarification of your, what I call God stream, which is just nothing more than the part of the great vine that you sort of orient to. And it predicts the kind of defense mechanism that you will create, because it's a kind of constriction of that gift that you're being given. And once you break through of that constriction, then you can really flow into doing the work, you know, of the higher intelligence that you have access to. And it's pretty interesting. So I am jumping off the bridge and calling it Celestine Prospect 2 because it seems to be more of an upgrade of where we're going. You know, it's more like a clarification of how all this works, even beyond what was in the Celestine Prophecy. So I didn't think I'd ever do that, but it's something that energized me beyond belief.
Did you ask, and then it just appeared?
Well, I was saying, well, what's next? You know, that was my great prayer. You know, what's next? I knew this website development and a place where people could have a real community around these ideas. That was important, and you know, we're doing that. But I just really think that there's each of us has a unique way that we hold ourselves back. You know, the coping devices that hold ourselves back. So it slows us down. Still, you know, it's the defenses against the world, and it's, you know, the way we maintain our self-concept. I mean, you know, our self-esteem, and those defense mechanisms hold us back. But if you could predict, once you look at your personality for reading 2-3 paragraphs, you go, oh my God, that's me. Then you realize this Enneagram symbol that, you know, comes from the ancients. Nobody even knows where it came from. It, you know, it came through the church, early church fathers, you know, the Christian monasteries, and somehow got out of that. But before then, it came from the Tibetans. Gurdjieff discovered the symbol and said it was the secret of personal transformation. And then has a rich, really rich history. It a couple of South American guys started to develop it. Achazo and a psychiatrist, Narano, who's a union. He wasn't union, but he was in that spiritual realm of psychiatry. And then they brought the Esalen Institute in California in the 70s.
Ooh.
And it's been talked about in various ways by those people, early pioneers there, for a long time. And I think it's the made plain and made simple, it's the ticket for what I'm calling a super fast growth that we can all have popping into this, you know, this flow of destiny that we've been talking about. So that's the kind of download about it. It took a couple of years before I actually have it out.
So you're going to simplify it so it's simpler for people to understand and grip?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not something I'm doing so much as the information is simpler. It does make it simple. That, you know, I'm getting, and So anyway, that's be my next big project. So that should keep me busy, huh?
It should. Besides your website and all that you're doing in your website.
Well, you know, my daughter Kelly helping is ramrodding that, you know, and that's fun to see as well.
Oh yeah, that brings the two of you working together. That's fun, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's really fun.
Well, again, let's remind everybody that you're going to be in Los Angeles on the weekend of the 19th. Oh, let's see, the weekend of the 19th, 21st, and 22nd, and speaking on the 22nd. So we can't wait. And if anybody wants to learn more about it and get tickets, call 800-367-5777. And James mentioned also that you can download some of the workshops and talks. So that's great. So if you can't make it, you can download it.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. And even for the workshop, you can go online and be able to listen from there instead of having to travel there. So it's important to know that you can do that as well. On your website, James, you have articles and global prayer, many different ways to look at your astrology and just ways to be able to look at this more directly and open paths, a path that one can, instead of jiggling around in their box and jumping up and down, that there's another way to open a door that will allow you to go out. And you still have... Go ahead, Paula.
No, I was going to say the community idea just really thrills me. I mean, I'm excited to... I'm going to jump in when you... and get it on board, because I could see people giving examples of what have happened to them when they've been mindful and used love. And when you see other people giving as an example, then it gives you the excitement and saying, gee, I can do this too.
Yeah. And then all kinds of other synchronicities, you know, they may get from somebody else's, you know, journal about their experience. So this is a lot of fun and this is Kelly's real emphasis. I mean, she really thinks it's time for a community, a virtual community, but yet one that will have some local group kind of grounding at the same time. And so it's probably still a month away from this initial airing. And this interview, but it's, you know, I would advise anyone who's really interested in that to just get on our mailing list so that you'll get the alerts and updates about when we'll be doing an initial charter membership and those kinds of things.
Well, and you have a newsletter, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
be in the newsletter.
Your newsletter.
That's right.
I do take articles.
And there are some alerts too.
Do you take articles from other people as well, James?
I do. Good. We have, you know, people write, especially journal type, you know, their own blogs, and we also bring in experts, who bring up a really spiritual point to bear on all this, and have those for people to read.
Well, a lot of times people think some of this stuff is really complicated, but when you get in, it's kind of, it nourishes, because you get to go to a depth that you never knew existed. And then to be able, you know, like Paula said, to be able to go in and be able to chat with another, maybe it had opened up a door that you hadn't thought about, that it would allow you to slip in there and work part of that kind of nourishment in your own life, and to experience it, you know. And it's like once you experience it, wow, you want more. It's so good.
Well, our time is almost up. So, is there any message you want to give our listeners before you leave?
Yeah, I'd say this. You know, it's my intention to make it less and less complicated, and less dependent on, you know, some kind of theory. You know, we're not talking about theory. You know, we want to figure out a way to, you know, get centered in a kind of upbeat love path, and then all of it is about what you feel. You know, you feel this centeredness and peacefulness because of the love you have connected with, and that can be practiced, and you get more and more in charge of your own movie. You become the star of your own movie, and not in an ego way, but just in terms of just being able to feel centered and know what you think about things and what you want to do with your life, and that's the beginning, because you get in that space, everything else, you know, these little feelings will guide you, and you'll recognize these messages that are coming to you that help chart your course and prepare you for some destiny down the road. And this is not about being young and looking for a career. It can be a career, and it's absolutely for the young, but it's also for people who want to figure out what they want to do after they retire, you know, what they want to do when they grow up, you know. And so there's three generations at play in all this, you know. And
you become a director, you know, and producer.
That's right.
I said you became,
and you're just taking directions, but you're getting it done. So anyway, it's the most fun life you can have, is what I say.
Yeah. It certainly is.
Anyone who really tries can prove it to themselves that it works.
Well, thank you for the magnificent healing that you're bringing through all of this wonderful impacted book that brings, you know, just a real supportive model for someone to be able to begin and put their finger on and go from there. Thank you for all the love you bring to everyone as well.
Thank you so much, James.
Thank you. And listen, thanks for the work you guys are doing. It's so important to get the word out the way you do it. So it's fun to be on with you again.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we're going to have you back on, especially when you get that new book out.
Right.
Look forward
to that.
You're
up again.
Okay. Thank you so much, and have a... Bye.
Goodbye. Thanks.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.